call the Foo Button.
Welcome to the Foo Button Podcast, where at any time it could go haywire. Now here are your hosts, Jay Surf and Twan.
What's up, man?
What's happening, Jay?
What's going on, man? Welcome back to the Foo Button, everyone. This is Jay Surf, and with me, as always, is my buddy Twan. Man, 2024, season two. What the hell is happening?
Man, I'm ready to kick this year off.
Yeah, man.
I'm looking forward to this and what we got holding in the future.
Yeah, dude, it's been a while since we did one of these, and I feel like we always say that, but it's true. You know, I think the holidays, you know, Jimmy passed on and in 2023, and we kind of did that, you know, thank you episode with Leo and Bartlett and Lip Balm, and that was really cool. And then, you know, we just got slammed with the holidays.
Yeah, I don't even remember the last time we did one. I think November, maybe October.
I mean, it had to be late November, early December, because that's when, well, no, Jimmy passed what, Labor Day weekend?
In September. Yeah.
Oh my God. That was September. So yeah, you're right.
So maybe October was when we did it.
Yeah. I think it was October.
Man.
Time is flying.
Flying by, but man, this year is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. Really exciting stuff coming up. We got lots of big announcements for songwriters, so that should be really cool. And just lots of good things going on, and just always listening to good music and just trying to live like a middle-class Jimmy Buffett, man. That's it.
I hear you, man. What are you drinking this evening?
Oh yeah, I got a little cannabis mango seltzer. So these are kind of laced with 5 milligrams of THC and 5 milligrams of CBD.
Very nice, smooth. What flavor you said?
It's mango.
Mango. I like mango.
Yeah, man, it's fucking 12 degrees here, so I need like a little tropicalness.
You know, your 12 degrees is probably equivalent to like our 45 degrees.
Totally.
Man, it's cold out tonight. I took the dog for a walk, and yeah, I was a little chilly.
What are you drinking over there? Are you still drinking those same Modelos?
You know what? I'm cracking open. I can finally say my last bottle. So I'm trying to find this beer from Apalachicola out in the Panhandle, and I had it while I was out there. It's called Oyster City. And it's just a smooth beer, so I'm going to have to hit one of the bigger bottle stores here and see if I can find some. I need a little bit of change from the Modelo I've been drinking it for. I mean, I love it, but I need to switch it up a little bit.
Hey, you should check the fucking expiration date on those. On those Modelo.
It tastes good to me. So yeah, maybe next episode I'll be drinking something else.
Yeah, well, at this point, we'll take any sponsorship, so... Whatever. Well, cheers, brother. It's good to be back, and it's
for sure. Cheers, man.
Cheers. So, dude, as always, what'd you listen to today?
Oh man, you know, so in preparation for this episode, I actually was kind of scrolling through some of my live shows. I wanted to listen to something live today. I've been on this studio kick for I don't know, probably the last month or two, if I'm just listening to, you know, a straight album. If not, I got my playlist going, which has got, you know, a little bit of everything on it. But I probably like 2 days ago, I was just I had my thing on shuffle, and this instrumental came on, and it's just Bobby G jamming, dude. You know, probably a 2-3 minute instrumental, and then all of a sudden Peter gets in and starts playing. It sounds like he's playing a classical guitar, and it's just the two of them jamming out. And It was intermission for the Minute Maid Park show in Houston back on back in 2007.
Oh yeah.
And so I popped it on, and you know, it's, I don't know, I don't go back a lot to like the, you know, I guess you'd call it the early 2000s. Usually most of the shows are 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
And And so this thing popped on. I'm like, man, I'm like, that was such a good jam. I hadn't heard it in a while. And I'm like, I'm just gonna listen to that show. And dude, this thing is like, it's such a great show. I'll read you some of the highlights from the set list, but they opened up with On the Road Again.
I was just gonna say, he opens that year with On the Road Again.
Yeah, and just a great Willie cover, you know. I think he does it justice. You know, a lot of energy in the show, but they did Hey Good Lookin', they did Waiting in Vain, Bob Marley tune. What else did he do? Did Cinco de Mayo in Memphis.
He does the Ballad of Spider John on that show, right?
I'll say that one more time.
He does the Ballad of Spider John on that show.
Yep, he does, right after Desperation Samba.
Yes, I remember.
And then
that.
What else did he do? He did Reggabilly Hill.
Fucking dude, I love that song.
Dude, such a good song. Great cover, you know, that I feel like he's made his own. Northeast Texas Women. And then actually did In My Room. And then, you know, Beach Boys tune. And then Tonight I Just Need My Guitar to finish it up. So, you know, a lot of the typical stuff mixed in, but a lot of variety in this one, a lot of cool covers. So I love when he used to go to Houston because he seemed like he seemed to bust out a bunch of different stuff there.
Yeah, man, we always thought it was a missed opportunity for Jimmy when he went to Texas to open up a show with Hello Texas.
You know, I'd have to look back to see if I have to imagine he played that in concert somewhere.
I don't believe it's ever been played.
Through all these years, it's like, I would love to hear that live.
Totally.
You know?
It would have to be, though, it would have had to been in Fingers era, though, because that is such a harp-heavy song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love that song.
Hang on, I'm going to do a quick, you keep talking, I'm going to do a quick search here.
Hello, Texas. But yeah, no, I remember that show in 07, man. That was really kind of post License to Chill album.
Yep.
And Jimmy was really a hot ticket again. And really crossed over, you know, into kind of that mainstream country radio audience because he had It's 5 o'clock Somewhere, which was obviously an absolute mega hit. And then the success of License to Chill and kind of crossing over with all those mainstream guys like Alan Jackson and George Strait and Chesney and, you know, Toby Keith and Clint Black. So yeah, 07, man, I remember that tour. That was a really good tour. It's not the 07 tour, but I have this poster in my office from the 2008 tour. The year of Still Here.
Okay.
I believe it's 2000. Yeah, I think it's 2008 or was it 2009? No, 2008. And dude, I have this poster and where I got it from, I mean, I think we're beyond the time here so we can do it, is that I stole it in Atlantic City from an elevator.
Nice.
So Jimmy was coming into town. He was going to play Boardwalk Hall, Atlantic City, a really cool venue here, you know, down at the beach here. And I was definitely probably overserved. It was a weekend in Atlantic City. I was in the elevators in the parking garage. So I was like, we were leaving. And man, they had this thing in like one of those kind of
glass slip-in cases.
Yeah, and it was like lit up and it was like glowing and beaming at me, you know? And I was like, man,
you
I need to
take it.
I was like, I need this. I was like, nobody here is gonna miss this. I was like,
I think you're past the statute of limitations here.
Yeah, and I was like, man, I just dropped like $500 at the blackjack table.
They owe me this.
They owe me this. I'm justified in my mind, you know?
And now you got a cool souvenir from that night.
Yeah, and I still have that.
So yeah, dude, he played it at one show. I'm going to have to go back because I'm pretty sure I have the show. 625-97 at Deer Creek.
Now, was that a Stumpo El Bando?
I believe so, because in 97, that's when they did it.
Yeah, and during that,
And he got stumpo'd.
Yeah, so he did get stumped.
He did get stumped.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, dude, that's such a great song, man.
It really is.
So, well, that kind of leads us into today's episode. You know, we've been kind of going back and forth. We've done set list shows. We've had some cool guests on, and we've done some pretty neat topics. And this is one that I think we talked about right when we kind of started doing this. And it's all JB covers. Yeah. And, you know, we kind of, as we talked, this past week and kind of dissected it a little bit, you know, I said, well, why don't we do something like some, you know, what are our personal favorite covers? You know, he's done so many covers that I don't think people actually realize that they're not his songs, you know, right. And he's made these songs his own. And when you hear them, you think Jimmy Buffett, you know, you don't think of the other people that wrote these songs.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty cool, that you can take a song and make it your own and put your spin on it, you know? So he's done that a lot in his career. You know, in concert, you know, he had a handful of covers that he threw out every single show. Then some stuff he mixed in, and then obviously there's you know, the bad ones that, you know, he probably should have passed on.
Right, of course.
So
yeah, I think too, like, it's important because, you know, when I think about, you know, what defines a cover, right? And I think really there's different definitions. Or different interpretations. So I think for us, we're going to talk a little bit about who Jimmy has technically covered and cut for his albums, right? People like Goodman and Winchester and those types of writers, right?
Right.
But we also have a category of kind of like live tracks or true live covers where he'll do a song that is really well known by another famous artist.
Right.
You know, like for me, like Making Music for Money, that was written by a guy named Alex Harvey, right? So for me, that's not a true cover in the sense of like Jimmy doing Mexico by James Taylor.
Right.
You know, because Alex Harvey is just a true kind of songwriting kind of guy. Jimmy took that song and, as you were just saying, really made it his own. So when I hear the song Making Music for Money, you know, I don't think of Alex Harvey, even though I know that information. I think of it as a Jimmy Buffett song.
Right.
You know, whereas Jimmy does, I don't know, what, Southern Cross or even Brown Eyed Girl, even though he's kind of made that his own too. But those, or like, you know, The Wait. He did The Wait back in 2012. Like, that's a song by the band. Right, that's not a Jimmy Buffett song.
Right, right.
So I think it's important to kind of make that distinction. And we're going to talk about it all. But Twan will tell you, man, I did my homework and my research the other day, and I sent him this list, and I sent it to him in an email, and he was like, dude, what the fuck?
He's like, there's so much on there. And it's funny because, like, when I think of Jimmy and I think of covers,
yeah,
I know, like, he's done a lot. A lot of the songs that he's recorded are covers. But to see it in front of me on a list, like, yeah, I was like, holy shit, you know, and like,
I'm sure I miss some, you know, I just try to cross reference things, and, you know, I did the best that I could. I think it's a pretty extensive list.
I mean, it's great. And, you know, I'm excited about getting to, like, the concert portion of it, you know, because, you know, of all the concerts I've been to, you know, when he would drop a cover, like you said, that it's not something he's done a lot, and it comes out of left field, it's like, this is awesome. Yeah. You know, it was always such a great surprise at the shows.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being at a show in the lawn, like, fucking blitzed out of my mind, and Prince had just passed away, and Jimmy, for one of the encores, played Purple Rain.
Man, that's awesome.
And, like, look, by no means should Jimmy be singing Purple Rain.
No, I mean, but it was fitting.
Let's be honest, but it was fitting. And that's the thing about a good concert cover in person. Like, if the timing's right, you know, and you catch the audience kind of by surprise and it's done well, then it's really worth it to me.
Totally.
And it's really, really cool when artists do that, in my opinion.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
So what are your, you know, if I said, hey, you know, give me a handful of your favorite Buffett covers.
Okay, now are we talking about songs that he's cut on his albums?
This could be anything. This really could be anything.
Oh, man. I mean, that's really hard. I mean, you know, I think for me to kind of categorize it in my head, I think songs that he has cut, that he has made his own, have to be songs like God's Own Drunk, right? I mean, that's a Lord Buckley. And that's really, I mean, Jimmy has really made that special.
Have you ever listened to the real version of that?
I did. It blows.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Jimmy, I mean, it's a perfect song for Jimmy.
Of course. I mean, he got sued over it, but to me, it was well worth it.
another story for another night.
Exactly. I mean, Stories We Could Tell, that's written by John Sebastian. I mean, he's known, but I just think that's such a Jimmy song.
Yeah.
And he did it so well, especially in the studio cut on A1A. Like, I know many people don't know this, but Tom Petty has also covered and cut that song.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but if you listen to Tom, and I like Tom, but the way that Jimmy kind of delivers it and makes it his own is really special. I think, you know, you got to look at something like Coast of Marseille. I love
Keith. That's probably my favorite, dude. That's probably one of my all-time favorite Jimmy tunes. Cover, no cover, doesn't matter.
And even Last Line, I mean, by Psych, well. You know, Jimmy really, and the band at the time, really make that special and unique to them.
Yeah.
You know, another favorite of mine is Stars on the Water.
Great song.
Man, I was just driving the other day and, you know, sometimes I have Sirius XM, so I have Margaritaville radio on there and I don't always have it on because, to be honest, I don't really always like the stuff that they play, but...
Yeah.
Every so often, you know, they'll have a really cool Jimmy track on there from like the 90s. And it was Stars on the Water. And man, in the beginning, they're pumping up. And Jimmy's like, you guys all ready for a little Fingers Taylor? And man, Greg just steps into that. And they always just crush that song.
Yeah. Absolutely just shredded it.
Yeah. But man, I mean, in concert, I got to think about like songs like Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Great Warren Zevon tune.
Yeah, man. And If I Had a Boat by Lyle Lovett. And, you know, we talked about this before, but when he played Rocky Raccoon with Peter.
Dude, my favorite.
I saw that live and I have that on a bootleg. And I don't know, it's just the delivery and kind of the pacing for me. And it just really kind of fits.
It's such a great version, and you know that was off of Peter's Beatle album, and Peter had recorded, put out, I believe it was a 2-CD set, and you know he'll always tell you like he's a huge Beatle fan. They influenced him. He listened to him a ton growing up. You know, so he recorded an album of all Beatle covers.
Yeah,
and. It's phenomenal. You know, if you like the Beatles, I truly enjoy the way Pete sings. So it's just a great album. And Rocky Raccoon is on there, and it's the only live track on there, and it's him and Jimmy. And it's just, the first time I heard that, I was just blown away. Because that's, you know, it's a song you don't hear a lot, even like from the Beatles, you know?
Sure. Hey, can I ask you something?
Sure.
You got any picks?
I did get picks. I got a lot of picks.
So real quick, every time Tuan would see Peter Mayer in person, he would always ask Peter for picks. And Peter would, what, always kind of pull one. He'd be like, yeah, man, I got one in my pocket somewhere. And he'd, like, pull it out and give it to you, right?
Guitarists always have picks in their pocket. Just a little PSA for everybody. When you go see somebody you like to play and you get to talk to the lead guy there. I have quite a few Peter picks in my collection.
Everybody's going to be asking Peter for picks now when they go to a show.
I am shameless when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Oh, you are, man.
You know, but it's funny because I'm not, I'm kind of the wait in line, try to be the last guy type person.
That's because you know,
I'm not up there like front and center, like freaking out. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's cool. I don't know. I enjoy it.
Yeah. And then dude, I got these are two sleepers for me. So one is an album cut and the other is a live track, and that's Reggae Accident.
Awesome tune. Margaritaville CD.
That was off one of the late night cafe CDs,
yeah,
right?
One of the Margaritaville CDs.
It was the Reggae Accident.
I believe it was the first one they did. No, the first one they did had...
I love that song.
D. Cruz and Goodnight Irene on it. I think the second one is the one that had...
C. Cruz is absolute trash, but Goodnight Irene is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But Four Ramblers and Arasta?
Eating pasta?
I think every so often I'll text you that just says Four Ramblers and Arasta.
Yeah. So great picks, though.
And then I gotta say the last one for me that I'll point out and then I'll pass it to you is working in a bar in Cairo.
Oh, so with good.
With Club Trini.
Yep.
Man,
that was a fun one in concert.
Were you at that show at Margaritaville when they recorded that?
No, that was, you're talking like the Late Night Cafe CD.
Is that the track that I have for Cairo that's really clear?
I think so. I think so. But he played that in concert quite a bit.
No, I know he did that year, but I'm saying this one specific track that I have, it's like at the end, Nadir is like, or no, he's like Club Trini, and she's like Mr. Jimmy Buffett.
I would probably bet that that's from that Late Night Margaritaville Club Trini one.
Would you bet your entire Jimmy vinyl collection on that?
You know, I'm pretty confident. Yeah, I think I would.
Love it. I'd love it. What about you, man? What are some for you?
You know, I kind of like some of, and this changes because like there might be something I don't listen to for a long time, and then I pop it on, and so stuff will kind of pop up. But I love a lot of the early stuff he did. You know. Yeah. I'm with you, a little Warren Zevon. Like, I love his cover on Hood of Werewolves of London.
That's a good one, too. Fing's on that.
It's just a fun song. Fortune Teller has always been one of my favorites. He played that in 98 when I was down in New Orleans. And he played it, I believe he played it in the Jazz set, in the Jazz Fest set. But he also played it inside one of the nights at Margaritaville.
Yeah, and he did that about 5 years ago or 4 years ago during COVID when they did that benefit show for Tips, the bar down
there. For Tips, yep. I was just listening to that the other day.
Man, I love that little set that he did, that virtual show. I listen to that all the time.
It's really, really good. And so what else? Dude, his cover of John Prine of Big Old Goofy World.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just a great song. So those are probably, you know, I think when it comes to favorites, I just listened to this the other day. I was listening to the 95 show at Jones Beach and Dixie Chicken. That version that they do from there is... it's phenomenal, you know. So I was a big those are probably some of like my favorites. stuff that he's cut. You know, this hotel room, you know, another great Goodman song. You know, I love, what else was I listening to? Roomba Man is really, you know, just a great Jesse Winchester song. And, you know, the way he does Everybody's Talking from Fred Neil.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, those are the ones that, like, I can listen to, like, all the time. And, I mean, going back to, like, what we said, Costa Marcel is probably one of my favorite. And I was always a big fan of Pace in the Cage.
Nice.
You know, I did a lot of shows on the Beach House tour. And, you know, that it was either that or Oysters and Pearls that he would close with. And so those two songs really, I mean, Oyster and Pearls his, but just a good... you know, a good vibe. And then, you know, when you get into concerts, you know, I was, and again, it changes with the band. So like Brown Eyed Girl, it was always, it was one of those that caught me, you know, down the Buffett Road. And so hearing that in concert, I loved it. But when Ralph played it, like if I'm listening to, you know, if I'm on shuffle and that comes on and Ralph's not in it, I'll, you know, I'll fast forward because there's just something about his little jam in the middle on that song that I just completely dug, you know.
Put me on that girls' soccer team. I'm ready.
So, you know, that was great. I love his version of Scarlet Begonias.
Yeah.
You know, and it, dude, one of my favorites that whenever it comes on, it just, I don't know, it makes me smile is Viva Las Vegas at that Vegas show.
Yeah.
So
that's the beauty, man. Jimmy could be very poetic, but he could also be like a showman and an entertainer.
Dude, Shame you know, I thought he did a pretty good job with the Stones. You can't always get what you want. I always thought that was a cool one to hear in concert.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think those are kind of like what I kind of vibe towards, you know, but there's, I mean, my list could be, you know, 100 songs long.
Yeah, you mentioned this hotel room, and before we jumped on here, I was listening to a concert back in 77 in Central Park, and one of the encores is this hotel room, and that's an awesome show. If anybody ever gets a chance to listen, I think it's August 2nd, 1977, Central Park. Really great set list, but at the end, they do this hotel room, and you know how, you know, sometimes in the 70s they would change out, like put in a quarter, turn out the lights, Fingers Taylor Makes You Feel All Right.
Yeah.
This version on this show, they say put in a quarter, turn out the lights, the choral reap the band will make you feel all right.
Oh, and nice.
They're all hooting and hollering. And before Jimmy introduces that song too, I think he's kind of like, it seems like he's like in a rush and wants to get off stage.
Yeah.
He's like, you guys know the words, sing it. If not, he's like, you know, do whatever you want. We gotta go. Boogie.
I like the version of that song that he does. Man.
The Rusty Vibrator?
The Rusty Vibrator and the Penthouse Mag. They got a radiator for when you're hot. Penthouse magazine for when you're not. It's just a great, you know, just an ad lib, and that's what he did best.
No, he did. But man, some of the more like profound, I think, live covers. You look at something like when he did Rivers of Babylon with, I think that was a medley with Mañana.
Yep.
And I think that was kind of like mid '90s. And then for me, always a favorite was he would do Gulf Coast Highway.
Great song. I bought that CD when it came out from Evangeline, and
yeah,
it's just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Nancy Griffith she's very special.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you even look at like something like Biloxi, right?
Just, you know, when I think of Biloxi, I think it's his song. I know it's not. But,
yeah, it's Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, but he made it his own, you know. I think there, you know, I could probably say that of you know, when it comes to covers, anything he's recorded feels like it's his own.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed, like, in Live where he would add a song to a song. You know, like you were saying with Manana and Rivers of Babylon, you know, when he do the Great Phil and Station Hold Up and go into, you know, Allman Brothers, Midnight Rider.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that was just, it was cool. You know, like you said, it was, you know, it was unexpected. You know, yeah. You're jamming out to a song that you know and love, and all of a sudden he throws, you know, this curveball into it, and it's just like, you know, mind blown.
Yeah.
So, you know, those were always the fun shows where, you know, you didn't hear it for the, you know, eighth time that year. It was the first time out, and you were like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned earlier you liked Big Old Goofy World by John Prine, and man, I gotta say, I don't know if I told you, I think I've told you this. I feel like I tell everybody who I talk to Buffett about, like, before Jimmy sailed on, I really wanted him to put out an album that was kind of like a throwback to his roots, you know, and like more right. just folk and acoustic and not super produced or anything like that, where he would go back and maybe recut some songs of his, and then also cover like folk, you know, goats like Prine and Goodman and Dylan, you know, and kind of make it a concept album.
Right.
Like, no, I don't know. He could have called it like Folk Island or something like that, you know,
right.
even if it was just like him and Mac. And I just thought that would have been really, really cool for him to go back, you know, reinterpret maybe some of his songs, but then also do, like, you know, guys that he was really influenced by and buddies right. with, you know, because the quality of that songwriting is so great. You know, it's like if Jimmy goes back and kind of puts his own spin on it, it could be magical.
Yeah.
And if I ever met Jimmy, I was going to tell him that. I was just going to take my shot, you know, and then
while you're holding the concert poster that you just stole out of the elevator.
No, I wouldn't want Jimmy to meet 23-year-old Jay. I would want him to meet.
No, I don't think anybody wanted to meet 23-year-old Jay.
I think I would want him to meet 38-year-old Jay, you know.
I think there's probably a lot of casualties in that 23-year-old's wake, man.
Jesus Christ. But, man, and I always wanted to ask him, too, was why did Periart Blues and Morris's Nightmare
never get recorded?
Never get cut?
Dude, yeah. the million-dollar question.
Questions that bother us so.
I know, right?
Hey, so I have a question.
Sure.
Your bathroom song, as we all know, was Cheeseburger in Paradise, right?
Yep.
If you had to pick, let's say, a cover where you're like, you know what? I got to go to the bathroom. I'm not doing this. Not feeling it. It's not for me. I'm going to go pee or go get another drink. What's it going to be?
Oh, man. Wow, that is a...
It's tough.
That is a good question, you know, because off the top of my head, Brown Eyed Girl, Southern Cross, Another Saturday Night.
Ooh, okay.
You know, those were three songs that through all the years that I've been going to see them, I would almost venture to say one of those songs was played at every single concert I went to.
Yeah.
Or damn near close to it. Well, so
Southern Cross was never dropped, really.
No, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. One of these songs was always played.
Yeah.
You know, if it was Saturday Night, dude, you know he was playing Another Saturday Night.
In the 90s. In the 90s for sure.
Yeah. So when I think of those songs, if I need to go again, it'd be one of those where I would run to the bathroom, singing it the whole way, singing it while I'm going to the bathroom, singing it back down to the seat, and I get back in time to catch the end of it.
It is so funny because this is so telling of our different age in the fandom, right? Because for me, I'm younger, obviously, like my songs were always Tiki Bar Is Open, Back Where I Come From, and All Night Long with the Lionel Richie song.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I could, it is then, funny. You know, I think those differences in the eras that we saw him, you know, that's what I think about. You know, the last show I went to in 21, I went to the bathroom during Cheeseburger, and I went to the bathroom during It's 5 o'clock Somewhere.
Oh yeah. I mean,
so it's 5 o'clock. If I had to say, definitely 5 o'clock. The problem I always had back in the 90s when I was going to a bunch of shows in the early 2000s was Brown Eyed Girl, Southern Cross, Another Saturday Night. They were always towards the end of the show, and I was all fucked up by that time. Yeah. And so I'm sitting there thinking it's the best song he's ever sang. And yeah. I don't want, you know, I know the show's coming to an end, and I don't want to leave my seat.
Man, I have such a love-hate relationship with Brown Eyed Girl.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, like there's moments like I love it. You know, it's just one of those things that just it just became overplayed.
100%.
It's a bad song. It's not that Jimmy can't do it, because honestly, he really made it his own, and it almost is a better version of Van Morrison's. I know people would argue with me over that, but for a summer kind of anthem and a summer like song and vibe, it's really great. But it's just so overplayed.
I mean, to me, it's up there with Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it, that's a good question, man. What bathroom outside of Cheeseburger? What about, what's your one song, like My Cheeseburger? What's that song for you?
Cheeseburger.
Yeah. we are brothers, man.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, obviously, you know, once It's 5 o'clock Somewhere became kind of worn out, that was also another opportunity for me to, you know, skedaddle for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I know we've had, I'm just kind of looking through some of the concert cover notes, and, you know, I know over the past, how many years now do you think it was that he was playing, where Mac would come out and play Back Where I Come From?
Oh, that's been going on for a long time. I would say almost the last 15 years.
Yeah. It seemed like every time either you went and saw him in concert or I went, or that was like always like a sticking point for you, you know, and with that song. And I was like, you know, I'm a huge Mac fan.
But
I'm like, man, I'm like, why? He's got 5 or 6 songs he could rotate through that spot, you know, awesome songs.
Yeah.
So,
a great song, right? I mean,
overplayed. You know,
I mean, that was a monster hit for Kenny Chesney. I mean, that was like early Kenny Chesney too, but that was like a monster hit for him. Great song. Mac's an amazing songwriter. You know, again, it's just one of those songs. It's like, it's overplayed. And to your point, it's like, you could, you know, why not rotate It's My Job in that spot?
Right.
You want to, because, you know, I think some of the things that Jimmy did, especially later on the last 10 years with set lists and songs, like he wanted to spotlight some of the band and highlight some of them. And then it also gives him a little bit of a break. And I totally get that. But I think, you know, at some point there was a level of like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And this is how we do it. And let's rehearse, show up. And then that's it. You know,
I mean, they used to do In the City back in the day, and it would play a video, and the video was Jimmy riding his bike all over whatever town he was in that night.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah,
and it was awesome, you know, because, you know, the crowd would go nuts because of the landmarks by their hometown and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was like, you know, I remember seeing those going, man, how awesome would it be just to tag along one day with him, you know, while he's doing this. You know, that was great. And, you know, it's funny because in the job, it's my job. It's a one song, dude. If I'm listening in the car live, not live, doesn't matter. So the part where he sings, till the lights come on and the stage is set and the song hits home and you feel that sweat. Yeah. I don't know what it is about that line, but like the hairs on my arm, dude, the hairs on my arm always stand up and I get like that cold sensation. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, when music does that to you, it's just like, it's like a runner's high, you know, you're like, man, it's like that really got me.
Yeah.
And that song for me has always done it, man. If I'm paying attention and I'm listening to the song, dude, every single time.
Yeah.
But so what are some of the other covers that you know, let's go through this. You know, we're looking at personal favorite covers. You know, I know you're a big fan of his old stuff. You know, like those 70s shows old cool covers.
Dude, love Potion Number 9. He even covered Third Rate Romance. Somebody just posted or sent me an article about Third Rate Romance. And they were like, oh man, Jimmy, you should have cut that song or whatever. Or he was saying something like, man, I should have cut that song or whatever. And then anyway, Little Egypt.
Awesome.
You know who also did Little Egypt? Because the only Little Egypt that I have is a live bootleg, because I think it was only a live take for Jimmy. That was never recorded.
That was like that 70s Exit In show, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that?
I think you're right. But Elvis cut that song in the 60s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then I love his cover of California Dreamin' from Buried Treasure.
I was just listening to it the other day.
Dude, it's great because he's at like some beauty pageant.
And you can hear like the girls yelling. Yeah. And it's just, and it's funny because if you look through the Buried Treasure book, so, you know, when it came out, you could buy like the regular CD or they had like this deluxe version. And it came like in this. The what's that?
You got the deluxe.
Yeah. And so. It's like a book in there. It's got like all these old pictures, and there's a picture of him in that hall. It looks like he's in just like a lunchroom or something, or a conference room, and a couple girls are kneeled in front of him, and I think there was like someone standing behind him on a ladder taking pictures. It's cool. It's just a cool early live version of him.
Yeah, and he sounds great.
He sounds fantastic. I mean, he does it well. And that was probably 1969, somewhere in there, maybe.
Had to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I even think about like cuts. I mean, this was later on. It's not in the 70s, but like No Woman, No Cry. There's a couple live takes of that he has out there. I have this one bootleg where he does a medley of No Woman, No Cry, and then it goes into Lovely Cruise.
Oh, wow.
And that gives me goosebumps every time that shuffles on. And then, man, back in 83, I think, it's the 83 show at Sheridan House. He does Sitting Here in Limbo acoustically.
It's just an awesome song.
Yeah.
And he does it so well.
He does. And then, I mean, he obviously covered Dylan a bunch. He covered Tom Petty a bunch. Especially after Tom passed on, Jimmy was doing a couple Petty covers. It seemed like pretty much every show. And then puts it on the Encores album. Is that Wildflowers?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he said he was having a senior moment with his daughter. He's like a hippie moment.
They were driving down the coast.
Jumping out of the water, and he's like, that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And then, you know, I think about a really fun song that I love to just throw on, especially in the summer, is it's a live cover. It's with him and George Strait, but they do All My Exes Live in Texas.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've listened to that.
Oh, man, Jimmy's just having a hoot on that, man. It's some of the shit that he, like, ad-libs and says is just hilarious.
I'll have to go back and give that one a listen.
It's like, I don't even have an ex in Texas. They're everywhere else. Oh, man. But, yeah, man, like I was saying before, like, for me, I always had a love-hate with Brown Eyed Girl because, in you know, I would see him a lot in the New York, like, tri-state area, because obviously I'm from Jersey. And for whatever reason, I think because that, like, New York and New Jersey is seen as, like, a tough market. You know what I mean? Like, it's a tough audience. Like, if you can make it in New York, they say, right, the whole cliche is you can make it anywhere.
Right.
And I think he always leaned on Brown Eyed Girl at those shows because he knew that it's such a recognizable song and that people get really into it. So, man, I remember even going to shows in Jersey. I'm like, oh, fucking Brown Eyed Girl is not in the set this year. Great. You know, what's a good, something else is going to be in there.
Right.
And he would always do me dirty, man. Brown Eyed Girl would start and I'd be like, what, this isn't in the fucking set this year. Why is he playing here?
He's throwing an audible.
I'm like, God damn it. You know, and of course, everybody's going fucking like bananas.
Right.
You know, it's well, like,
of course, man.
It's like he's playing Margaritaville. Like people are going fucking nuts. And I'm like, God damn it. But hey, man, that's what happens when you know, are really into the music. And you want to just hear certain songs. I want to hear that one song.
Not the one, not the stuff in the middle.
Not that shit in the middle.
Oh, you know, great. What about going back to covers that, you know, Jimmy has made his own? You know, it's such a long list of songs that, you know, like I said earlier, like when you hear it, you think it's his song.
Yeah. I mean, California Promises. I mean, that's a Goodman song, but Jimmy does such a good job. Man, I just posted a video of him doing that, I think, in 83 or 84. And I don't know if you watched that, but man, it's awesome. It might be one of the best versions I've seen or heard.
Yeah.
You know,
and seeing it with a video makes it even that much better.
Yeah, and it's fucking, dude, he's got the vest on. He's got the huge mustache. It's like 84 drugged out Jimmy just singing his heart out on a bar stool.
Yeah.
It's like that's, to me, that's Jimmy. Man, I even think of like Banana Republics. And I always used to love, I used to watch Live by the Bay all the time in college, but then I also watched the double disc DVD of Live at Wrigley.
Oh, nice.
And him and Mac at the end in the bleachers up top would play, you know, Banana Republics. And that always gave me goosebumps.
Dude, in that setting, in what, you know, what he brought to Chicago, I mean, he was the first guy to play Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, they do a concert series. So it's like, it's just cool.
Yeah. You know? And he was like, you know, I was up here in 1970 something with my buddy Steve Goodman. And this one's for him tonight.
It's just everything about it is just, you know, it's just the right moment, you know, and it really just, you know, he's so into it. And that's what makes that particular one so special.
So I'm going to talk about something that's, you know, I think people fall either side of the fence here, but you have to look at even the album License to Chill.
Right.
Because
it's all covers.
85% of that album is all covers.
Yeah.
And I know people that really dislike that album, but I actually really like that album. And I think it's a really strong album. Post 2000s. You know, I also like, you know, I going to college, we all went to Chesney shows, you know, so I like most of Chesney's stuff. You know, and then you got like George Strait and people in there, but a lot of the song choice in that album is really strong. You know, like the songs that he picks.
Right.
And the duets. I mean, you got Bill Withers in there. You know, like there's really amazing, you know, people who he sings with and who he cuts. Like I'm just pulling it up now. So look at the songwriters or artists who he's covering. So you got Hank Williams
on Hey Good Looking.
On Hey Good Looking. You got Guy Clark on Boats to Build. See, I told you knew a Guy Clark song.
I knew.
He co-wrote Coastal Carolina with Mac, right? You got Will Kimbrough with Piece of Work. And Kimbrough is a really strong songwriter, man.
Yeah, dude, he's phenomenal.
Really, yep. You got Bruce Cockburn. You got Bill Withers, who co-wrote Simply Complicated with him. Let's see. You got Bill Withers again playing the loser again. You got a John Hiatt song. You got a Dead song. And you got a Leon Russell song. And you have a Bruce Cockburn song again.
Yeah.
There's only one soul pen song by Jimmy on this album. And that's Coastal Confessions, which is actually a pretty clever song.
Good song, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. You look at this album, and it was a concept album, right? He had this idea to go in and to cut these kind of covers or country songs and make them, you know, Buffett-esque, but do it with also some popular country artists.
Do you think, and I think we've talked about this before, you think this was like a big, like, you know, fuck you album to kind of the country?
Yeah, I do part. I mean, I think Jimmy is smart though, too, you know, and I think this move, I think was calculated for different reasons. You know, I mean, you have to think about this came out in 2004, right?
Right.
So he has to make a shift. I mean, Fingers leaves the band ultimately in like 2000, right? I mean, I don't think he was on the 2000 tour. I think 99 was his last year.
And then he came back for a couple.
Yeah. And then obviously, you know, we talked about this 2007, you know, they reunited. Everything's all good. But he wasn't officially in the touring band.
No. Right?
So I think, I don't know, I think for Jimmy, it's like, I have to make a shift here in my music, you know, and in the direction that we're going, you know, I don't have a blues harp guy with me, so what else can I do? And
right.
I think he chose to go more into like that kind of country kind of route in some way. But I do also agree with you. Like, I also think it was like, well, let me do this and do it really well. And it's kind of like an old fuck you to Nashville.
Yeah, because they snubbed him for so long.
For so long. But, man, people rag on this album. And I'm like, man, he's got a duet with Nancy Griffith. And it's it's a Bruce Cockburn song. I'm like, it's fucking awesome.
When I think of, like, my favorite Buffett albums, like, it's usually not on that list.
Of course.
But it's a great album in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you have to, listening to it, you have to go into it knowing that it's a concept album.
Yeah.
Right? And that this is intentional. Because I saw somebody posted this the other day, and then somebody was like, oh, you know, it's just, you know, it's all like country cover artists and all that stuff. And I'm like, well, that was the point of it.
Yeah.
So
I'm looking through some of these songs and I completely forgot when he would do like even like that Zac Brown Bree and then into the Mystic.
So, man, I got a quick funny kind of story about that song. Is that I saw Zach Brown and Jimmy at Hershey Park. Zach Brown put on like this Southern Ground music and food festival for like 2 days, right? And the first night, the headliners were Jimmy and Alan Jackson.
Wow.
And then Saturday night was Zach Brown. And right. He co-headlined too with somebody else. I don't know. It's just escaping me right now. But it was a really good bill. I think Blues Traveler was there. Like,
yeah.
Cool bands. So Jimmy plays Friday night. And going into the show, like, I had seen him like 4 or 5 months previous, you know? Right. And I was like, and they were playing that free Into the Mystic medley. And I'm like, well, he can't play that tonight because that's what Zach Brown does.
Right.
And they're going to be here tomorrow and he's just not going to do that. Right. Sure enough, you could guess what?
He plays it.
He plays it. And standing there, I'm like, oh, well, Zach's going to come out.
Right.
But Zach, they weren't even in town Friday night. They came in Saturday.
Right.
So they weren't even there. And so they play it. And, you know, I never really loved... You should never go see an artist who you really love at a festival.
Yeah, dude, the worst.
You're going to get a shortened set.
Disappointed. It's going to be all the fan favorites.
Gonna be all the fan favorites, and it's gonna be goodbye, goodnight.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it was. But then the next day, Zach Brown came on, and Zach was like a little pissed off.
That he played it?
Yeah, because when he introduced this song, he was like, "Yeah, we heard, you know, Jimmy and the guys did this song last night, and we're gonna do it right for you right now." And I was like, "Oh, damn." You know, but, you know, at the end of the day, they probably didn't communicate. You know, Jimmy's showing up. He's right. Doing something. He's a fucking legend. It is what it is. But, yeah, I don't know. I always thought that was a funny story. That was a fun weekend, though.
I bet. Sounds like it.
Yeah. We went camping. It was good.
What else has he done in concert that either I've heard or I was there that has kind of always surprised me?
Rainy Day Women, that's always a fun one. That was fun.
That's the one that we always send that meme back and forth, because right before he starts, he just he lip sings Everybody Must Get Stoned. And it's just funny. It's a funny little video that I think I shortened down from some YouTube clip I found, and it always just makes me laugh.
Yeah. I saw him he was opening with Summertime Blues on tour, and the line that I always text or say to you sometimes, he ad-libbed in that song, and it just always stuck with me, was he said, "Boss, listen, clown, nobody goes to work when Jimmy Buffett comes to town." Dude, I remember hearing that like seven rows back, and I'm like, oh shit, and it just always stuck in my head.
Man, some of the lines, man, it's just, you know, when I look back through like our text, it's like half of the stuff is either movie lines from Slapshot or it's funny random lines from Buffett like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know? And then, yeah, man, dude, I saw him play Glory Days a bunch because of New Jersey, Bruce Springsteen. Not my favorite.
No. You know?
I like Bruce, but I don't know. There's just something about that song that, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't work.
Doesn't work for him. Yeah. I would probably say the same thing with Trippin' Billies.
Oh, man. And, you know, I was a big Dave fan. You know, Dave was my first, like, love of a band and my first concert. And then I saw Jimmy, but, you know, Jimmy should never sing a Dave Matthews song.
No.
You know, but I gotta say, when I was like 16 and he played that, I remember I was in Virginia.
You're probably like, oh, this is awesome.
theater at the time, I was like, this is fucking awesome. I was like, I can't believe he's playing a Dave Matthews song. And now that I sometimes listen to that song or it'll come on, I'm just like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
I gotta fast forward this.
What's your least favorite cover that he's done, whether it's live or any other way?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to stick with the live cover because I feel like I don't want to get into like what's his worst song that he's ever recorded.
No.
Yeah. Everybody's got those. Man, you know, I think the one song that really annoys me is Once in a Lifetime.
Good.
They play that sometimes on the radio. And I'm like, I don't know. And two, he's like yelling in it.
It just, that one does not fit.
No.
You know, what's the song?
I like the yacht rock songs, you know. To me, I'm like, dude, you're not a yacht rocker. You know, you're not.
I'm drawing a complete blank. I was just kind of thinking back on some of my favorites and, oh man. Oh, Take the Weather With You, the Crowded House tune.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
So good. So good. Yeah. I don't know. That just randomly popped in.
Live in Anguilla, man. That's a great show.
Did you wear that CD out?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah.
I love that version of Domino College on that.
It was one of those songs that he didn't, I mean, I don't even know how many times he's played it. I've heard it a handful of times, but it was always one that, like, I always wish he'd play more.
Yeah.
You know, just an awesome song.
There's so many of those songs where you're like, man, I wish he played this one more.
I mean, he's got a huge catalog.
He does.
You know?
Man, like, Woman Going Crazy on Caroline Street. I play that every show. You know, play it every show. It's fucking amazing.
It's, again, it's one of those songs. I mean, A1A is such a great album. And, it was.
You mean Havana?
I'm sorry, Havana. And, it's just one of those, yeah. Like, I wish, you know, those are the songs that I wish he would start replacing with, you know, some of the grade eight songs.
Yeah, well,
you know, like he could have played that every single concert I went to, and I couldn't get enough of it.
No, I agree, man. How about Jamaica Farewell on is that Feeding Frenzy?
On Feeding Frenzy, Harry Belafonte.
He does a great job with that.
One of my favorite albums, and that song, the upbeat, the steel drums in it, like it's the perfect song. Like he crushed it on that version.
Yeah, I would always go to the bathroom during the Tiki Bars Open. You know, which is a John Hyatt song, and I like John Hyatt. There's just something about that song. You know what I think it is? It's like too like show tuney for me.
A little bit.
And I think Jimmy yells too much on it, but it's just not for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I guess I'll go get some
I'll
more
go to the bathroom. Yeah.
Get some more cotton candy or something.
how fast can I take a piss and grab a beer?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, just amazing covers. And, you know, I think we could talk about, you know, these covers for another hour, you know, but I think we kind of covered the basis here.
I think so. Felt good to get back in the seat again.
Yeah, man. It's been, these are always fun. And it's always great to do, you know, the research on these and to go back and to re-listen to stuff. And I love it, man. I really just really dig it and enjoy it.
It's a cool little, it was a great, you know, good episode suggestion.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to the next couple that we got in the pipeline.
Yeah, man, I think it's going to be a really cool season. I mean, I can't believe we're actually doing a second season. You know, when you and I first came up with this, we were like, yeah, I don't know, it might be cool, but I don't know, man. It seems like people are listening, and we really appreciate that, by the way, for listening, because honestly, we're just two kind of, you know, Buffett, you know, nerds in some ways, and two good buddies who just love to talk and just kind of nerd out over this for a little bit. And we just appreciate everybody listening and all of their support.
Yeah, I know we got to do a nice, I think this season we'll do that questions episode. We had some people sending in some questions. So if you guys want to send in some questions or even suggestions for topics, yeah, you know, hit us up, you know, hit us up on social or however.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. Well, dude, it was awesome talking to you, and party on, Twan.
Party on, Jay.
Thanks for listening to the Full Button Podcast presented by the Songwriters Joint. Follow the Songwriters Joint on Facebook and Instagram for amazing content that features Marvin Gardens and all of his songwriting friends. Let's get together.
Thank you all. We love you.